Hello and welcome to A Gram of Hope. I'm your host, C. Jerome Graham. You know, on today's episode, we'll be speaking with Andrea De La Roca. At least I got the last part correct.
Yes, you did.
And she is with the CASA organization. Now, I have to let you know that that organization is so vital, so important, that you have to just really dial in today, because the information that we give you, although you may not use it personally, it's relevant enough for you to take it to someone else, especially in the culture that we're dealing with today. Our young people are in trouble and they need a voice, and CASA is that voice. Andrea, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me here.
Oh, it is a pleasant experience. We're going to have a great conversation. Look, are you a CASA?
Yes, I am a CASA. I have two cases, and I have been working with these children for the last 3 years.
Okay, but your role, your position with the CASA organization is you're responsible for recruitment.
Yes, so as a paid employee, I'm in charge of recruitment and community engagement for the Lucas County CASA program.
Now, community engagement, that's a huge term.
Yes.
Because there are so many organizations that when you address a community engagement, it means something different depending on who your organization is and who you're working with. For a CASA, and we're going to talk about what a CASA is here shortly, but talk about what community engagement means for the CASA organization.
So community engagement for our CASA program means working with members in the community, for example, churches, mental health providers, the library. We have partnered with the Toledo Public Library in the past, and actually they provide us a space for our information sessions. It means, working with the schools, public schools and private schools too. So our volunteers, we have close to 160 volunteers that work within the community. And that can mean, working with, partnering with doctors, with mental health providers, as I said before. So they, big group that, moves around the community advocating for children who need that voice.
Now, I know somebody has been waiting, because we dove right in. CASA. What does it stand for, and what is a CASA?
Yeah, so CASA stands for Court Appointed Special Advocate.
CASA.
Correct. Yes. And what the CASA program, our mission is to train adult volunteers to advocate for abused children in Lucas County. So that's our mission. Now, an advocate, a CASA, a Court Appointed Special Advocate volunteer, someone who provides this advocacy for free. And their three main roles are, they're monitoring. Well, the first thing is that they're a independent investigator. When they take the case, the first thing they do is they talk to the child or the children involving the case, the parents, the caseworker, anyone who is involved in this child life that could be a positive adult in their lives. And they monitor the case. That means they make sure everything that the child needs is being provided to them, that they are in a safe environment, and they also advocate for whatever needs aren't being met. The CASA volunteer advocates with whoever is in charge of making that happen. That might be the caseworker, that might be a doctor, that might be a teacher, so that's the role that those are the three main roles they play.
So they make sure that whatever resources are necessary to help that child have a quality of life.
Yes.
A good quality of life.
Yes.
That they're getting those resources. Let me throw you a little bit of a curveball. Because it's part of the culture that we live in today. I'm reflecting back on, there was a young fellow who, he knocked a professor off of his bicycle some years ago, and the professor died. Mm. So this young fellow goes into the system. He said he didn't mean to kill the professor, and he didn't know who he was assaulting. Which oftentimes the people don't know who they are assaulting. It's just that they have a need, and the person has whatever will improve or meet that need. In this case, he wanted the professor's bike. And I met the guy, the young fella, and he was a innocent kid. He really didn't appear as if he should have been in the system, but because of his actions, he was now part of the system. I know that CASA can advocate for a child that may be in an abusive situation or an abusive environment, but how about somebody like that fella who, by a mistake that he made in life, and somebody's going to say, well, he attacked somebody, so that's how much of a mistake is that? But he wound up in the system. Can he get a CASA because he's only 14, 15 years old?
Well, I'm glad that you're asking that question, because sometimes there's a misunderstanding on how a CASA can be appointed in a case. So the only time our program, our volunteers, are appointed to a child, you know, dealing or navigating the juvenile system, is if they have been a victim of abuse or neglect. So every day in the, you know, in the juvenile court building, we have docket time at 12:30 where caseworkers bring those cases in front of the court. So those are most of those cases are children who have been removed from their homes 24 hours prior to that hearing. So in this case, you know, the child, I don't know what the background was, you know, maybe he was, you know, a victim of neglect, and he didn't have the means to provide for himself. But in that case, you know, we will not provide a volunteer if his case wasn't connected with neglect or abuse. So that's the only time. So we see about 3% of the cases that come into the, you know, Lucas County Children's Services, about 3% of those cases we serve. So I guess it's safe to say that we serve the worst cases, you know, that our community sees. So again, they have to be a victim of abuse or neglect, and they have to have come into the juvenile court system in front of a magistrate. That's when we appoint a volunteer.
Now, let's ride this horse a little bit further.
Yes, yeah.
I am neglected, or I've been in an environment where there's abuse, and I'm assigned a CASA because I'm 8, 9, 10 years of age. And I experienced some of this behavior when I lived in another city, where in order to be part of a gang, you had to be 16 and under. So there were 10 and 11 year olds that actually owned BMWs and Mercedes Benzes. I have a CASA because of the environment that I'm in, but I commit a crime. Do I lose my CASA privileges at that point?
No, you don't. You will have a CASA, even if you detain because of whatever crime, if you came into the court. So we do have crossover cases.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So we do have volunteers who are working with teens that are detained at, you know, the detention center, you know. So we do have that. And they don't lose privilege.
Now, yeah. You spoke earlier about having the ability to investigate. Mm-hmm. What type of character or personality is best suited for a CASA? Is there a certain type of characteristic that a person would have, and somebody would say, you'd be a great CASA?
Yeah, I think in the last 3 years, what I have noticed, you know, the people who are successful in being a CASA volunteers, they have to be open-minded, you know. They have to be willing to be creative solutions, because we are navigating in systems. You know, they have been operating in the way that they operate for many years, right? And so I think it is better to come into these volunteer job, you know, with an open mind. You know, I don't want to judge the system. I don't want to judge, you know, whatever way the caseworkers work or Lucas County Children's work. You know, my mentality has to be, I'm advocating for this child.
Yes.
So it's not about me. It's not about what I think is right and wrong or how a system should work. It's what is best for this child, what this child needs. And I, you know, if I think this way or the other way, I have to put that aside, because the reality is that I want things done for my CASA child.
Yes.
So if that means, you know, I don't like how they communicate, you know, the caseworker doesn't communicate in the way that I think she or he should do it, that's beside the point, because what you need is, you need actions for your CASA child. So, you know, someone who is open-minded, someone who can navigate, you know, the politics, the, you know, the systems, and get things done for their CASA child.
Now, mm-hmm. I've never been a CASA before, and I'm using a hypothetical here.
Yes.
So I heard about a CASA. It sounds interesting to me, but I'm not an attorney. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a law enforcement official. How many levels, or are there a lot of levels of support for someone who becomes a volunteer?
Yes. Yeah. So the first thing is, you know, the training is very complete. So our CASA director and our CASA attorney are the ones that lead, you know, the training. So during the training, we talk a lot about what it means to be an independent investigator. We talk about how to work or how to complete the report to the court, because that's a big component of being a volunteer. You write a report to the court with recommendations. And I'm going to tell you right now, if you're looking for an opportunity to make an impact, if you're looking for an opportunity to be heard, this is it. Because our CASA volunteers, when they write the recommendations, the magistrate and the judges hear us. We do carry a lot of influence in these proceedings. And so we want volunteers who can do that, who can do a very good investigation. And, you know, what we tell our volunteers during training is, your investigation has to match your recommendations. Your investigation is no, oh, I think this mother is this. No. Like, you show in your investigation, you show facts. And then that will, you know, equate, you know, the recommendations that you make for this child. So we do that during the training. And also, you know, after the training, when they receive their first case, we assign them a mentor. And we have 3 CASA coaches that will work with them. So at the beginning of the case, you know, they're available. The CASA coaches are available anytime if a volunteer needs help. And if it's a question, a legal question, you know, our CASA volunteers aren't attorneys, you know, but they do have an attorney that supports them. So they can call the attorney. Our CASA attorney will, you know, advise them on what is the best next step in their case. And they also have a mentor. So CASA volunteers who have been with us for a while, become mentors for the newest volunteers.
So I could be someone who works on the line at the factory,
yes.
or I could be someone who's a referee or basketball coach. I don't have to have a background in being a social worker or anything like that to be a CASA.
Correct.
I could just be an everyday type of individual.
Yep. You can be, you don't have to have children. You don't have to have a degree. You can, if you have a heart and if you are feeling called to serve children who need a voice, that's what you need. And be, you know, you also need to be 21, you know, 21 years old. But you don't need any special skills.
When someone becomes a CASA, is there a certain amount of time that they will spend on a case, or is every case different?
So every case is different, but the one thing that's usually the same is at the beginning of the case, you know, depending on how many children are involved in the case, how many parents, you can invest about 30 to 40 hours on your investigation. So that's the bulk of the time, like the first 6 weeks is where you pour most of the time into the investigation. Once you submit your court report and, you know, you go to your hearing, you're looking at maybe 5 hours a month, depending on how many children are in the case. But let's say it's one child, maybe 5 hours a month that you will use on, you know, checking in with them, you know, visiting them. We require that you visit your child, your CASA child, at least once a month, because we, you know, that monitoring role, you know, making sure they're okay, they have what they need, and you want to be able to see them, you know, to actually be in their presence,
yes.
to make sure that they're okay and have what they need.
Am I using my own money?
No, not at all, because we reimburse for mileage. So if you travel, in some cases might be, you know, out of the Lucas County area, we do pay, we reimburse you for mileage.
So I could actually have a child, I don't know, in Oak Harbor?
Yeah, and you know what we recommend too is when the caseworker go, because caseworkers have to visit, you know, these children, I believe it's twice a month or once a month at least. So we partner with the, you know, we reach out to the caseworkers and go visit. So I do have a child who is in the Defiance County area, and I will be, you know, riding with the caseworker next week to go visit him.
So now, when it comes down to visiting the child, is the parent sitting right there staring you in the face? Because that could influence your decision, couldn't it?
Yeah, well, usually the parents aren't around, because if the children have been removed from home,
okay,
you know, there might be a visitation schedule where, you know, they meet at Lucas County Children's Services, and you do have to observe at least one visitation, but that's at the beginning of the case when you're, you know, doing your investigation. But most times you are visiting the child at a family, you know, member home, you know, they're providing care for them, or at a foster home. So they sometimes are, you know, in the kitchen or whatever, but you know, you want to have a conversation. And the main, one of the things that you do report on, you know, when you write in the CASA report is, you know, you are asking the child, you know, if they owe enough, what they want for themselves, you know, because unfortunately some of the children will tell you they don't want to go back home. You know, it's been hard for them.
Sure.
So, and some of them will say, you know, I want to be with mom and dad, or I want to be with mom, or, you know, so you take that in consideration, because we do want the children to go back home.
That's the goal then.
That's the goal. But unfortunately, you know, the parents are dealing with things like domestic violence, untreated mental health issues, or substance abuse disorders. There, those type of things, it is difficult for someone to just turn turn it off in 6 months. Sure. You know what I mean? So so sometimes it's not a possibility for them to go home.
Yeah.
So that's something that, you know, the CASA volunteer assess and makes recommendations depending on what the situation is.
Now let's do this at right now, and then we'll do it again closer to the end of the conversation. Can you give out the contact information or the website so that people can go and look at the CASA information?
Yes, so our website is casakids.net. So casakids.net. And you can also, you know, give us a call at 419-213-6753. 419-213-6753.
Kids.
Yes.
I'm thinking of a kid as being somebody who's like 16 and under. What happens when the child that was part of the CASA program, if you haven't found them a home yet,
mm-hmm.
what happens when they're emancipated? And what is the age of emancipation, I should ask?
I believe it can be up to 21.
Really?
Okay. Yes. Yeah. And I do have knowledge of children who can stay, you know, that long, depending on their situation.
Mm-hmm.
So our job as CASA volunteers, and when the case ends, and the case can end either because the child went back to the parents, the child was emancipated, or the child was adopted, right? So the teens, some of the teens, that's their decision. I don't want to be adopted. And they have the right, you know, to say, I don't want to have to go through that. And so they just stay in the care of Lucas County Children's Services until they're ready to be emancipated, right?
Okay.
And they can make that decision too. They can be 18, but they're still in high school and they want the support from the agency to finish high school and do the transition from high school to being independent. They can make that decision to stay in the care of the agency, and they can do that. So we just continue, you know, like every 6 months we go in front of the magistrate and, you know, make sure everything is being provided to the child, and they wait until they're ready. But I believe the cutoff is 21.
If I decide at age 18 that I want to stay in the system, are there bridges or support programs that I can access to help? Because nobody's going to take me in at 18 or 19 as a foster child, I don't think. You can correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I believe the name of the programs is Bridges.
Okay.
Yes. So I know very little about the program, but I know that program is available to youth who are making that transition to adulthood.
All right. And we're getting close to the end here, so... and I want to say thank you for coming on and really sharing the importance of this program. You guys, how do you keep CASAs motivated? Because it could be kind of stressful.
Yes, yes. And because of the confidentiality part, you know, it can be overwhelming too. So we do have times where we come together. So the CASA coaches organize events where, you know, CASAs can come together to, you know, talk to each other and, you know, support each other. We have the CASA mentors, you know, that they can talk to at any time. And we also provide a lot of training because we realize, you know, that their job, they need to be, you know, they need to have the skills and knowledge to serve these children, you know, good. So we provide a lot of quality training. So we try to meet with them at least once or twice a month, you know, depending on what is going on. But the CASA coaches are the ones that provide that, you know, support for them. And we also do something really exciting. Every September, the Ohio CASA offers a conference where our volunteers who meet the requirements can attend, and everything is paid for. So their mileage, their hotel, their registration fee, and, you know, of course, they will get reimbursed, but, you know, they will get reimbursed for all the expenses. And it's a great experience because you get to meet people from different counties, and then you realize, oh, I'm not alone. You know, Lucas County is not as unique as, you know, like other counties are dealing with similar things. And it's nice to have those connections, especially when you're trying to find creative solutions. You know, it's nice to have people who think outside the box, and you get to reach out to someone in, you know, Fulton County, or, well, actually, I take that back. Fulton County doesn't have a, they don't have a CASA program, but, you know, like Wood County, or, you know, you can reach out to someone in Cincinnati, whatever, you know, to see what's going on in all their right. program.
Have you guys ever had to go back in and pull some child out of a situation that they were in because it became too physically or mentally abusive for the child, and it wasn't what everybody thought it was?
But we don't do that. The caseworkers will do that.
Okay.
Now, once the children have been removed from the care of their parents, if they're in a foster home or if they're with a family member that isn't appropriate, our CASA volunteers can request removal.
Okay.
Yes.
So that strictly your voice.
Yes. Yeah. So we can be the voice for, you know, if things aren't working well for the child and in their current, placement, mm-hmm. we can request that.
All right. Give that contact information again so that people can go and look at the programming and events that you guys have coming up.
Yeah. So, you know what? Let me also invite your listeners to check out our podcast. We have also our own podcast. So it's the Lucas County CASA Podcast, The Power of One. And you can find that in the WGTE.org, right?
WGTE.org/CASA.
And we have, right now we have 6 episodes. We are at the end of the year, you know, the fall season, we'll have a second season. So I invite everybody to, you know, check our podcast out. You can also visit our website at casakids.net. And our phone number is 419-213-6753. And my name is Andrea de la Roca.
Andrea, I want to thank you for coming on and talking to our listeners. Again, our guest today has been Andrea de la Roca. She is with the CASA organization. Me? Well, I'm your host, C. Jerome Graham. Our executive producer is Mr. Chris Piper. If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen again, go to WGTE.org/hope. That's H-O-P-E. Or wherever you stream your podcast. Thank you.
WGTE. Voices around us.